Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today, another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to this journey together as we face the issue, and we're going to be talking about today defending the faith. Defending the faith. That is what every Christian ought to be able to do. We ought to be able to defend the faith and share with others what we believe, why we believe it, and what it's based upon in our scripture. But before we get into the monologue and then the dialogue and discussion, I want us to recognize the fact that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of scripture. Nothing that I say, nothing that I could do would have any real long-term eternal value, but what the Word of God says has all the value in the world. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus identifies the question that is being answered, what is truth? He says, "Thy word is truth," and he's speaking of the Word of God. It is the Word of God, the Bible, the inspired, infallible, inerrant word, that is the source book for all truth. And that's a term that is shied away from and rejected in Washington today and many other parts of society where truth is not sought after. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it's time as Christians we wake up, look up, listen up, stand up, speak up, and be heard and seen, be the salt and light that the Lord Jesus Christ says we ought to be. But ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a very fast-paced society today. We're living in a society today that says, in essence, I could care less about tomorrow. It is a society that has philosophy and the culture that we live in that's doubt and denial and rejection of everything that once was historically truth and historically believed in without any debate, without any diatribe, and without any doubt. Some of the things, for example, ladies and gentlemen, that back just a few years ago, this will tell my age, but back just a few years ago, it was not an unusual thing to people just simply believing that God is real, believing that the Bible is true. Believing that our faith ought to be the mainstay of our life and society. But today, we live in a society where the question is asked, who is God? Does God really care? Where did God come from? What about biblical creation? What about salvation? Is Jesus the only way? Those are some of the mainstay questions that's being bounded about in society today. And yet believers, for the most part, and I'm not trying to be condemnatory, but most believers, do not know how to share their faith, or they simply are fearful to do so. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks, perhaps you're listening and this identifies you. You say, I'm saved and I'm sealed and I'm satisfied and I'm going to just stay seated and do nothing, say nothing, but that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says we ought to be ready to give an answer for every man that asks us the reason of the hope that is within us. That is in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. We need to be able to give an apologetic, an answer. We use the term apologetic. It's not talking about apologizing for anything. It's talking about giving an answer. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that we're going to be able to discuss that today. But before we get into the discussion with our guest today, let me remind you that you can dial in at any time, 831-0917, 831-0917. You can jump in the dialogue and discussion. You can ask your questions to our guest today. Be delighted to have you to do so. And I pray that it'll be a blessing, encouragement, a challenge, informational, and educational for us as we look to what God would have us to do in sharing our faith. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our delight today to have on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues the head of, the leader of, the ministry organization called Reasons for Hope, Carl Kirby. Carl, it's a delight to have you on board with us today. Looking forward to what God is going to say in and through you. And we're thankful as the you have been an impact on so many lives in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Carl, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, you blessed me by allowing me to be with you. Thank you, sir.
It's a delight. Carl, if you would, since our listeners, perhaps I've talked with a number of people, and it's sad but true, and perhaps you recognize that. Many folks do not know of your organization, your ministry, and the outreach, and what you're doing. So if you would just take a few minutes and introduce yourself, who you are, and something about your background. I've been intrigued by reading your bio and some of the information about you. Our listeners, I think, would be intrigued and challenged by it. But give our listeners kind of what I call a synopsis, short form, of that elongated bio and who you are and your background. And then we're going to ask some very poignant questions that I believe our listeners would love to have answered that would be a blessing and a challenge for all of our listeners to be able to share their faith.
Well, thank you, sir, for that opportunity. Keep it real short. I just tell folks, look, you're not going to be impressed with my bio. I am a sinner saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's the greatest credentials that I've got.
Amen.
Really bad background. Goofy. I mean, I grew up around guys. I tell everybody I grew up around guys with one name, Crusher, Bruiser, Mauler, Assassin. My dad was a professional wrestler, so I grew up around crazy. And I tell folks, don't expect a lot of deep theological stuff from a guy like me, because when you grow up around in that circumstance, you don't get real deep. I'm a rubber meets the road kind of guy. I got saved, radically saved, when I was 26 years old, and the Lord just changed me, transformed me, and has been challenging me more and more to trust the Word of God. I loved what you said at the beginning. Unless the Word of God is true, unless that's our authority and our standard, we really don't have anything. So Reasons for Hope came about 9 years ago. I was with another ministry called Answers in Genesis. I was on the founding board, built the Creation Museum, and then I left after the Creation Museum was built. I left to start Reasons for Hope. I wanted to put an emphasis on younger generation. I see 50 to 88% of the younger generation raised in the church. They're walking away by the time they're age 18, and I don't think we're losing them. I don't think we ever had them, and I don't think they know what they're going to or leaving. So my goal was, we've got to go out, go after them, and just show them the truth, show them the truth of God's word, and then show them what they're actually heading to as well. So that's been our emphasis for the last 9 years now, almost, and we're just blessed to do what we're allowed to do.
Well, I am so thankful to hear that. Let me just ask a little question that perhaps is not necessarily some of the ones that we'd like to discuss in depth, but I'm fascinated with your statement about those that are raised in the church, leaving the church by the age of 18. And that's a pretty heavy statistic. And that's one also that's borne out by the George Barna Report and his religious survey for America. And that's basically what you call the millennial age group. Give your insight, and I believe it will be helpful to our listeners because we have listeners all over Northeast Florida, and I believe that it would be insightful for them. What do you think is the root cause of this age group abandoning the church today in such large numbers?
It's not going to make me popular, but the root cause is going to be my age group, to be frank with you, because I think most of the folks about my age group were raised with a faith that was just believe. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do box checking. But we didn't truly know Christ. We knew rules and rituals, and we knew those types of things. And so you can only pour out what you have in you. And culture has shifted. Culture has totally changed. It is, as you said earlier, it is no longer a culture where, yeah, you just believe in God and you're going to make it through the day. That doesn't happen, because Satan has had a very long time now of preparing a generation on how to attack and destroy Christianity. I just tell folks, this mature generation especially, a lot of times, and I mean no disrespect, sir, but a lot of times the mature generation doesn't get it. The school system has changed. It's different. It's openly antagonistic.
Absolutely.
It's openly aggressive. Satan doesn't play fair, and he has been so wise in going after them at the education level. Look, we did research. I was blessed to be able to get a book funded called Already Gone. And did research, 20-year-olds raised in the church, conservative church, not radical, fun, weirdo stuff, just solid churches, age 20, walked away. And when did they walk away? And why did they walk away? Because until you know when and why, you can never understand, come up with a problem to fix it. And 87% were elementary, middle, and high school. I would have told you before we did the research that it was college, and college isn't the problem. 87% identified elementary, middle, and high school is when they started to doubt the Word of God and started to walk away. Now, they stayed in the youth group. They stayed in Awana or whatever it was that they did, but mentally they had already checked out. So the reason I think that we're losing so many is because Christianity has not engaged them at an intellectual level as well as the spiritual level. And I know that it's at the name of Jesus every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, but that same God that tells us that also tells us, as you said in 1 Peter 3:15, we have to be able to give an answer why we believe what we say we believe. If it's just our opinion, if it's just what we were raised with, that is not going to last in this culture. They're going to destroy it, and they know how to do it very effectively.
Absolutely, Carl, and I'm so thankful that you touched on that, because one of the things that I've said for the past 50-some-odd years in ministry is that we are absent today of expository preaching, that is verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, book-by-book preaching from the pulpits in our churches. It's got to be storytelling time, funny time, and as I call it, dead dog story time, and it has nothing to do with the depth of the teaching of the Word of God. The Scripture says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, that's the word dia, through the Word of God. And so if the Word of God is not properly expounded upon from the pulpits, then our kids are going to come not willingly but grudgingly. And I've used the term down through the years, the faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first. And there are a lot of folks that have had a fatal flaw in their faith because the faith has not been placed in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Carl, I'm so thankful that you're with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Carl Kirby. He is the leader of Reasons for Hope Ministries. And Carl, share also, there's part of your ministry that has a little unusual name. It's something about unapologetic apologetics, and it's the debunked approach. Tell our listeners about debunked and the unapologetic apologetics approach to ministry.
Well, man, I tell you, we are weird. God calls us to be a peculiar people, so I say just be weird for the right reasons. but our whole approach is we have a generation that they think they know Christianity because they've seen Christians on Family Guy, Simpsons, Desperate Housewives, Law & Order, those TV shows and in movies. But my point is that's not Christianity. That's a caricature. But because they are so biblically illiterate, that's what by default has become Christianity. So about, I guess, 10 years ago now, I started writing these scripts. I loved, back in the day, I loved the old Mac PC commercials, the parody, hey, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC. And I thought they were fun. They were light. They had nice little jabs, and they were just causing people to think. So I wrote some scripts on, hey, I'm a creationist, I'm an evolutionist, and I just couldn't get any traction to get them made. And then my best friend at the time sent me a link. And said, he didn't know I'd been doing this. He sent me a link and said, you got to watch this video. And I went and I watched this video. And it was exactly what I was talking about. And I was like, man, this is so good. It's much better than I would have ever been able to do. So I found out who the group was, and I wrote them in a blind email. Said, man, I just saw your video. I've been wanting to make these things. You guys are doing it better than I ever could. So now I know why I couldn't get them produced. And I'm a fan. And the guy wrote back to me and said, Carl, I'm on your mailing list. I love you guys. I'm a fan. And so we got together about 10 years ago, and I said, look, I want – this younger generation thinks they know what Christians are, thinks they know what Christianity is, and they don't have a clue. I want to come at them like Dirty Jobs meets Mythbusters on steroids with a Ford F-150 look and feel, and just really blow their mind that God is real, man. His word is true, and we have answers. And do a little lighthearted poke and jab and just causing people to think. So let's take the issues that I'm getting asked. I mean, all the questions that we're, quote-unquote, debunking, are the questions that I get asked when I go do the camps. I hand out index cards day one and say, what are the questions that are keeping you from selling out? Bring it in. That's what we're dealing with the rest of this week. I take those questions in, and then we debunk them. So, oh, you know, you've got your truth, my truth. We all can have our own truth. It can't be that because of all the suffering that we see. Oh, man, you couldn't fit all the animals on the boat. How ridiculous is that? So we've taken all those things, and they're 3.5 to 5 minutes. They're geared for the ADD generation. I mean, we're coming after them, animated, jabbing, but really challenging them to think.
So, Carl, what you're saying, you're taking the truth of the gospel in the biblical context in an apologetic, unapologetic fashion, but you're packaging it in a way that will catch the eye and the ear and the attention of the younger generation today. Because, after all, and I think this is what you're saying, and let me summarize it in my words, I believe that you're taking the old truth of the Word of God. You're putting it in a fresh package, but it's still the truth. It's not watered down, diluted in the truth, but it's being packaged in a fashion that with the electronic generation that we're in today, where they recognize, understand things in little clips, 3 to 5 minute clips, and then it's over with. They want to go to something new because they're accustomed to the texting and the emailing on their handheld devices, and that's what you're approaching to reach them with the gospel. Is that true?
Oh my goodness! I need to record you saying that because you said it so much better than I do, and that's exactly it. We will never compromise on the Word of God. You can't. I mean, you've got nothing if the Word isn't true. If that's not your solid foundation, you have nothing. But the way that we deliver the message, we're going after a generation that studies show have a 2.2 second attention span, and that's not a joke. That's what the research shows. They have a shorter attention span than a goldfish. So if you think you can get up in front of that generation today, they're done. They're going to turn you out. So I'm like, no, this is real. God's word is true, and I'm going to come after you and just kick you in the tail and get you to think.
Amen. Carl, I believe we have a caller on the line. Caller, if you would, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, I wanted to ask your guest if he thinks that Bible prophecy is an effective tool for evangelism.
Carl, did you hear that question?
Yes, sir, I did. And I would say I love the Bible in that there are so many different approaches. Prophecy, I do believe, can be a very effective approach. I've spoken at a number of prophecy conferences. I don't deal with the prophecy part. I come in and deal with the application component because, to me, memorization without application is not as effective as it could and should be. The prophecy component, I think, is absolutely effective in showing that, look, God's word is true. There is no other book that has the prophecies that have been fulfilled the way that the Word of God does. So you can use that as a real component, but then taking them back to the questions that they are raising, because younger generation they're just asking different questions than, look, 5 years ago, I could tell you the questions that I would get when I go on live radio. Today, those questions have changed. 5 years ago, within three questions, I would have got, where did Cain get his wife? I never get asked that question anymore because we have a generation that's biblically illiterate. They don't know who Cain is, or was, I should say. Mm-hmm. And so the prophecy, to me, ties completely and totally in with, I want to show you that the Word of God is true, trustworthy. It's God's Word. It's not good stories. It's not fairy tale. It's not fable. But then I have to use that component to then go to the questions that this generation is raising. So, yes, I do think it's effective.
Yes, very good. Well, Carl, thank you so much for your call. Carl, let me drop this little thought in, and it is in alignment with what you're saying. Not too long ago, there's someone that criticized the Bible and says the Bible is not trustworthy because, after all, it's just written by a bunch of old white men. And that's the mindset today by our younger generation. And in the younger generation, I believe that you have found, and I have found, that so many of them are even questioning the reality of hell. Does hell exist? And there are a whole variety of answers to that question. And then the main thing that I'm finding is, how do you know that the Word of God is relevant? How do you know that the Word of God is real? Is it true? How can we trust the Bible? And so those are some of the things that you have asked to you that you're validating in your ministry approach to the younger generation today.
Oh, absolutely, and that's why I say that's where the prophecy component comes in extremely well, going through the accuracy of the Bible, the number of manuscripts that have held, the accuracy of those manuscripts, how close they are to the originals, and all of that type of information I think is extremely powerful in showing somebody that the Bible is not just another book. There is definitely a questioning of authority. There's definitely a questioning of Christianity, of Christ, of being exclusive truth. There, you know, it seems to me that everybody wants their own truth, and that's just a big issue. You know, well, that's your truth, and that's not true for me, and that's just only true for you, and speak your truth, and those types of things. And so those are tough to break down. As a matter of fact, I heard a term all the time that we were postmodern. We're not postmodern. I think we're post-truth. Because what I'm running into now is a generation that even if it is, they'll acknowledge, yeah, I don't care if it's true or not. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. Those are a tough generation to reach.
Well, most of living on relativism, that saying truth is only relative to what you believe it is, and if I don't believe it, it's not truth to me. Carl, listen, I've noticed in your purpose statement the Reason for Hope ministry exists to offset the hopelessness that is prevalent in our time and culture. Explain that to our listeners and what you're speaking of there.
Well, without Christ, we can't have hope. I mean, that's just ultimate reality. You can place your hope in money and it's going to go away, or it's going to leave you empty. You can place it in good looks, and trust me, looks change. I look a whole lot different now than I did 70 pounds ago. I quit counting years. If you place your hope in anything that the world has to offer to you, you're going to end up with hopelessness. And only placing our hope in Jesus is the thing that's going to ultimately carry us through the craziness that we see going on in our culture. And I think it's going to get even crazier in the future. I just believe that. Satan is alive. He's active and doing extremely well at destroying a generation. So if we don't have that ultimate authority, John 17:17, as you said, sanctify them to thy truth, thy word is truth. If we don't have that absolute authority from which we can start our thinking to deal with all these issues, what we end up with is what we see in the world today, where everybody's, well, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? And that leads to emptiness. Suicide is the number two killer of our teenage girls in America, teenage girls in America. And I'm like, how can that be? We're the most Christian nation on the planet. If you remove their value from the fact that they are created in the image of God, that they are fearfully, wonderfully made, that they were literally knit together in their mother's womb. If you remove that historical account and their value that comes from that they are created in the image of God, and replace that with, over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into everything that we see, you're going to see hopelessness. And that's what we see going on in the world today. And in order to combat that hopelessness, you have to have that authority, that standard, to take it back to deal with it. And that's the Word of God.
Yes, thy word is truth, absolutely. Carl, I believe we have another caller on the line. Caller, go ahead, your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning. Before I start, I need to hear that wordplay again, Brother Youngblood, on fatal flaw, slowly.
The faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now,
<That's good. laughs>
thank you. Now, the old preaching the old-fashioned gospel in a new-fashioned way. The Hebraic way of doing things was to be involved, not aloof. The Grecianized, Hellenistic way was to be aloof. And I go to services on Sunday, but I attend many, many studies during the week. And I feel the young people today, if they get involved in meetings at the home or meeting at a restaurant and discussing questions and studying together and voicing their concerns, the ancient Hebraic way of doing things, since the family isn't doing what the Torah states, that to discuss the scriptures as you walk by the way, as you get up, as you come down, as you lie down, what saith ye?
Oh, boy, am I on board with you when the debunk component is exactly that, because we do the videos, but here's what we're doing as well. As a matter of fact, we're kicking it off in Jacksonville this weekend. We're going to be bringing the debunk bus down there and kicking off we're calling it the debunk tour. We're going to, you know, just get on the road and go to all up the East Coast where we take the bus. It's an old hippie van. Okay. And we're going to be at First Coast Baptist Church this Sunday, talking about these things, but we're going to be, taking the bus into the community, opening the doors up, they flip the back up. It's got a flat screen TV with a sound system. We pull a table out and set up the umbrella. We have drinks and we offer to people, and you engage people in conversations. Because what I have found is, like, when we went and we did a conference, the teens come up to me and say, how do we get involved? We want to do something like this. We want to be involved. I see a hunger there that most folks wouldn't believe, but there is a hunger for something that's real, and they can hang on to it and go do something with it. And so then we take them out, and we just go out on the street, and we engage people in conversations. And then in the course of a conversation, they make a statement, well, that's your truth. Oh, hold on. So you really believe that there could be your truth and my truth? Can I show you a short video on that? Then we show them the debunk video, and then we follow up with some more questions. Did that make sense to you? Did it challenge you to think a little bit? My goal in life, I don't do the convicting and converting. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My goal in life is to take the truth of the Word of God and introduce it to a culture that isn't hearing it, not compromising, not watering down, but delivering it in a way that's going to just challenge them to think about it.
Amen.
And with all due respect to the way we've done it for years, through a pulpit ministry, and I'm not against that. Don't get me wrong, but I always like to be engaged. I love studies where there's give and take, questions, and we study, as opposed to just sitting and listening, not being. I end up reading, or sometimes I fall asleep. With all due respect, I'm not against anything, but I just feel the engaging part would involve them more, and they'd become more and more interested.
That's our camps, and that Absolutely. Is our camps. We're handing out the cards, and we're going for it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. Carl, I'm so delighted that you're with us on this broadcast today. You touched on where you'll be the 19th. Share with our listeners where you'll be on the 19th, what time, where it's located, and what you'll be doing.
We'll be at First Coast Baptist Church in Jacksonville. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm speaking on Becoming Bold. And that's a challenge to the church to get up and get active. And then 10 o'clock, I'm doing What's the Best Evidence of God Created? And that's a fun talk. That's a family fun talk, just trying to get people really, again, to appreciate the Word of God for what it is. And First Coast Baptist is at 7587 Blanding Boulevard. They also have a website, firstcoastbaptist.com. And our website has all of the speaking that we'll be doing, and that's rforh.com. And if they'd like to see more of the debunked stuff, all they'd have to do is go to getdebunked.com. If you'd like to see the videos, we give them away free, man. We want to put tools in people's hands. All they would need to do is text on their smartphone, on their iPad, use their messaging system, text the word Stay Bold, STAYBOLD, to the recipient. It's just numbers. It's 51555. When they text Stay Bold to 51555, they're going to get an immediate link back to all 12 of the current debunked videos, and then the ones that we release in the future, you actually get them before we release them to the public. And again, we want to put tools in people's hands, and I can't wait to be down there at First Coast to kick this whole East Coast tour off.
That is wonderful. Carl, I would really appreciate it if you would share that contact information, the email address, the website, or any other contact information. I'd like to invite our listeners to go to your website, look at what you're doing, and also you might want to share with our listeners how they can become involved. Maybe we have pastors listening, Sunday school teachers, deacons, et cetera, et cetera. How can they become involved to help you broaden the base to get the Word of God out in a package form that our youth will listen to and will come to know Christ as Savior?
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Youngblood, you're so kind. Our website is rforh.com, and you can get almost anything there. You can contact us. It has our email addresses, our phone number. Our phone number is 800-552-HOPE. You can call and talk to Dave. He can tell you how you could invite one of our speakers to come out. We have a speaker. One of them is in Miami, Florida, so we've got a guy down there locally that could even come out, or you want to bring a guy like me in, I'm glad to do it. If you want us to come speak at a camp, you want us to do a special youth event at your church or youth weekend where we come in and we just look, we're not pulling punches, man. We come in and go after these guys and challenge them to think. Give Dave a call and ask us. Again, our website, rforh.com. The debunked website is getdebunked.com, and that's going to have all kind of information that you can use for the debunk side of things, with the bus tour, where it's going to be, and to get the videos, all you have to do is text that two-word message, Stay Bold, to 51555, and you'll get all of them for free.
Carl, we've got about 15 seconds left. If you would, one more time, tell our listeners how they can come and hear you Sunday, the 19th, at the location, the church, so that they can come and hear you, and then give also the email address or the website address once again, and to invite folks to come online and see what God is doing through your ministry.
We'll be First Coast Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. That's on the 19th at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Their phone number is 904-777-3040, and firstcoastbaptist.com is your website. I sure hope you come. Make sure to shake my hand.
Amen. Carl, thank you so much. We're delighted to have you with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Carl Kirby from Reasons for Hope Ministries, looking forward to what God is going to do in and through that unique ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as, once again, we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.